Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM, kind of looking forward to those super grapes over those super beets. I like them grapes. How are you guys doing tonight? Happy New Year. Hope everything is going well for you. You're having a good evening and you're enjoying everything that we've got for you tonight. Caroline Corey, she is who is talking with me tonight. Teacher, author, speaker, writer, producer. She does it all. And she's got some really neat things she can do psychic-wise, ability-wise. Wise, talent wise, too. We'll have to ask her about that. And psychic and conscious, same thing, different. You know, this is where we can get those things specified. And I like that. So the film that she recently worked on that's out that you can check out is called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. She's got a ton of books out there and classes as well. Check her out at CarolineCorey.com. Also, we were talking a second ago, and we're going to be taking your calls too, so that's good. I know a lot of you are already on the phones. What is the significance, going back to you, Caroline, with the spoon bending? What is that about? What am I supposed to learn from that?
Well, actually, all of this, what it is about, you know, it's same with the telekinesis, moving an object. I mean, what is that about? It's pretty much...
That's cool.
Yeah.
That one.
Same thing. It's just to demonstrate that your mind, your consciousness has the ability to affect the physical world. So these are just exercises. These are just tools for you to feel what it's like when you concentrate your mind on something that you want, you concentrate your intention on something you want, and then you see it happen before your eyes in a very physical way, it does something to you. Like you kind of, you get it on a deep level that you do have this power, you have this ability. So it's really just a training. That's what it's about.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting is that whenever anybody said anything about anything in the world, they're like, you know, the intent is what you want, but you also need to do something else. And this is in prayer. This is in meditation. This is in almost anything that I've heard when people say this is why you may not be getting it, or this is the key of how to get it when people are having trouble. And that is to let go. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly it. So it's very, very interesting, Connie. I'm glad you mentioned that. So when we were doing all sorts of experiments in the lab. So, for example, we did experiments on water, DNA, which are, I mean, it's more of a biological system. But sometimes when I had to focus, for example, on an electrical device, try to change the electricity or an electronic device, it felt very different. And then when it came to a physical object, it was completely different in the way that the reaction, like what I had to do to make that happen. So in the case of water, or biological system, like affecting the DNA, for example, it felt very organic. It's as if as soon as I thought it, it happened. It was literally like in seconds we would register. Yeah, it was, for example,
feels good.
We wanted to increase the electrical conductivity in DNA. So the second that I would focus on it, it would just like jump, you know, like 100% or something. And so, and I could do this over and over. And the feeling was me and the DNA or me and the water, it was one and the same. It's kind of, it's one of those things where you feel one is an extension of you. It was that sort of feeling. But when we were dealing with a physical object, for example, moving a piece of paper, it was very, very different. It's almost like I would talk to the piece of paper. I would merge with the piece of paper and try to get it to move. And it would be like, no, I'm not moving. You know, it's as if the piece of paper had an ego, you know, or like the spoon, you know. The physical object reacts to your intention very differently. And so that is especially true with physical objects, that the second, so you give your intention, you say, okay, I want the piece of paper to move, to rotate, or I want the spoon to bend. But the second you just let go, you just allow it to happen, you let the spoon bend itself, so to speak, that's when it happens. So
it's just amazing.
It's fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Feeling of letting go. It's particularly the case with physical objects. Very fascinating.
And it's something so simple, but it seems to be so hard for us to do that. Going back to, so this is kind of like a two-parter. So this is great. I get to ask you all these questions I've always wanted to know. You're the one. So, okay. Now, with this, I would think that we would be able to heal ourselves. Now, part two of it, with your answer, do fish and other creatures, do they also have deal with the same type of thing? However, they don't allow their minds to get in the way like we do. And would they heal quicker? Do they have the same type of situation as us where they could heal themselves? Is that even possible?
Yeah. So I started doing energy healing. That's how I started out. Like I said, at a very young age, I would just kind of, you know, put my hand on someone and they would heal or something like that.
Nice.
So I developed a whole methodology specifically for healing. I taught how to do the healing. I taught others to do the healing on themselves and on others. And so that's kind of how I started out. And because we had such incredible results, so people had a cyst, and then after the session, the cyst would be gone. It went all the way from recurrent or chronic migraines to even cancer. Of course, not every single cancer case would especially phase four. You know, sometimes it was much more complicated. But we did heal a lot of, if not most, cases of serious illnesses, phobias, addictions, just using this methodology. In fact, there are people who've been smoking for 20 years. They would do the class, and then that's it. They would stop smoking, never smoked again, no side effects. Same with cigarettes, same with alcohol. So this methodology worked very, very well. This told me and showed me that consciousness was affecting the body in healing. And we did have results on piece of paper, like on paper, if you will, because you would see the lab results or, you know, it wasn't just your imagination, you know. And so because of that, I wanted to kind of take it to the next level. So I started working with scientists to be able to demonstrate, to make it very measurable, because we had had so much success with so many cases in healing. And so that's where I realized, okay, I mean, the person is healed, but how can then we show it to the rest of the world? And so we started doing experiments with water, with DNA, with, like I said, with telekinesis and so on and so forth. And it is because it works for healing. It's the exact same thing. Just like you would direct your intention on a piece of paper or on the spoon, you would direct it on your liver, or you would direct it on your blood, or you would direct it on your lungs, or whatever that is. And then you would put your intention. Now, sometimes, so for example, in the case of water, what I did in the movie is I wanted to reduce the pH of the water. And so, you know, if you're technical, you could do it many different ways. You can just say, you could just put your intention and say, I want to reduce the pH of water, and just let go and just see what happens. Or you could be very specific. You know that water is made of different molecules. You know that there are hydrogen molecules. And if you increase the hydrogen molecules in the water, this reduces the pH. And so this is more technical, but it's more specific. And so in the movie, I did it that way. Because I've been trying different things, obviously. So I focused specifically on the hydrogen molecule. I would change, I would multiply those, and then I would get the result. All this to say that when you do this on your body, so let's say there's something wrong with your liver. So you just put your intention and say, okay, I want my liver to heal. That's one way. Or do you specifically look at the chemistry of the liver and you try to change certain things, alter certain things, whether it's the pH or, you know, certain nutrients that are missing and so on and so forth. So it depends. It's case by case, but the principle is the same. And that's exactly the reason why I did this experiment in the film. Because if we are made of water, so if I'm able to change the chemistry of water that's sitting in a glass, then I can do the same to my body. It's the exact same principle. So yes, 100%, I made this whole movie to demonstrate and to show and to prove that your consciousness affects your physical body and can heal it.
Nope, I didn't get that message at all. No, I'm just kidding. Of course I did. Of course I did. It was great. It was throughout it. So do you, so I'm just wondering, you know, like an octopus would grow back a tentacle. And there's other ones like that. Why can't we do that? Or should we be able to do that?
We should definitely be able to do that. But again, don't forget, it's mind, it's training, it's programming. Nobody teaches us this. You know, we're taught, you know, if something's wrong, you take a pill and that's that. And so after years and years and years, generation after generation, humanity kind of is programmed, you know, to believe that the answer is outside yourself. The answer is in a pill. And so that's the reason why all of a sudden, if you start telling yourself, no, it's not in a pill, it's just by talking to my cells, and they will know how to self-repair. I mean, that's a lot of programming that you're trying to shift in one day. And the collective consciousness is very much influencing you as well all the time. So it's almost like you're going against the current. And that's the reason why it's so difficult for people to accept. And when it does happen, it's like, oh, it's a miracle. But we're supposed to be able to do that. We just are not trained. But I really think it's time. I really think enough people have been talking about this. Even mainstream science, you know, tells us meditation helps with stress, high blood pressure, you know, heart disease. So it's catching on, and people are catching up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that do the TM, and man, do they, you know, they'll do that for like 20, 30 minutes, boom, come back out, and they're just a new person. When you work on these long television projects, as you know, they last all day long and for long periods of time, and there's a lot of work that goes into them. And along my journeys along the way, doing that kind of thing, these guys would just be gone for 20, 30 minutes, right? The trans, I'm sure you know this. What is it? The TM method.
Meditation.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. They would be gone for a little bit. Boom, come back. And they're just a new person. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute new person. So I like that. It's amazing. I got to learn some of that stuff. We've got some people on the phone that would like to talk with you. You good with that?
Okay, sure, definitely.
Still, we got wildcard line number one out of California, Ed Young. Hey there, Ed. How are you? Welcome to Coast to Coast.
I'm doing fine, Connie. This takes me back. Caroline's discussion of these experiments with the kids in particular takes me back. I feel like phase one of what Caroline has moved forward into a new age. I ran one of the foremost psychic laboratories on the Stanford campus back at the time when Russ started.
Oh, wow.
We're up the road at SRI doing remote viewing. And
nice.
Several of the things that Caroline brought up, I jotted down a note about. First one had to do with the kids. Back then, we did little experiments seeing ours. Now, this would be the last generation. You know what kind of kids are being born into the planet now that you're working with. Back then, this was sort of like the first generation in the mid-70s to the 80s. And we created a box with some high-voltage plates that were maybe 6 to 8 inches apart, a box like looking into a television, and changed the voltage on the plates, and these kids would see different patterns. And but here's the most interesting thing that maybe you could comment on at some point. I've got a couple points here, but as soon, now this is a different generation now, but back then, as soon as the kids got to be a certain age, their parents would say, "Oh, come on, quit fooling around with that stuff," and the kids would immediately shut it off. That's one thing that you could talk about at some point if you still see that or if the parents are more enlightened. Another thing is a guy I worked with back then who came up to the lab, and sort of like you were describing the kids looking through the blindfolds and how it slowly came into being, this guy took photographs, strange photographs of you with lights and stuff around you, but one of the most interesting things he did was take photographs with the lens cap on the camera.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've heard of that. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ed.
I've got other things here, but I don't want to take up all the time. But maybe you could discuss a little bit about how enlightened or unenlightened parents are these days, encouraging the kids or not encouraging. How's that going?
Yeah, and Ed, I'm very interested in those, you know, if you have any more information on those types of experiments, I'd love to hear more, if you can send those to me somehow. But that's fascinating with the voltage and stuff like that. So I feel like more parents are more open, but it's really case by case. I feel like the kids nowadays are demanding something like this, or you know, they're saying they're just more outspoken, I feel, and I think the parents are listening more.
And I think they're very thirsty for all this kind of stuff, for sure, very hungry for it. Ed Young, you make sure you leave that information for me as well, so I'll contact you too to talk with you. More with Caroline Corey. Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis here. Very happy to be here, and I hope that you'll join me outside of here as well at BlueRockTalk.tv. That's my show. I take you to creepy hotspots. I do Bigfoot Friday, talk to researchers, and then Far Out Thursday talks to people like Caroline Corey, which is, you know, PK and consciousness and things like that, remote viewing, aliens, it goes on and on and on. So I hope you'll join me. In fact, if you're a Coast fan, if you're hearing me right now, you can go in there and get half off forever in the next 48 hours. Okay. The next 48 hours, I got a setup for you right now. So go in there at BlueRockTalk.tv and get it for half price. I think you'll like it. It's an adventure, travel, journey, investigations of these hotspots, and you go with me. So it's, and we're 100%. We've seen something and had activity 100%. It's very, sometimes it's pretty, well, it's very creepy. Caroline Corey, she is a teacher, author, speaker, writer, producer. We've only got a few minutes left. It seems like with her, time just flies by. But she put together this incredible film that I think you guys would want to check out because there's a lot of really neat things that you get to see happening. It's called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. You can check that out. And we're talking with her right now. I know there's other people on the call, but before we get to the phone calls, Caroline, is there anything else you want to make sure that you say, that you tell everybody, that is the secrets of the world before we do happen to leave? Because it just flies by, doesn't it? I mean, it's almost been 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is I think what this film has done is taking it to the next level. You know, it's no longer talking about it. You know, everybody's been telling us your mind creates, your mind affects your reality. And so that's why I'm very hopeful for this film, because it literally demonstrates how that is possible. But more importantly, on camera, live, and scientifically. So, but more importantly, it's to show that everybody can do this. Anybody can do this, especially now. I mean, with the craziness that's happening on this planet right now, what do we have? Like, the only thing that we need to do is to regain, to empower ourselves, and to really believe in ourselves that we can still create our reality. While the collective is creating all this mess and this chaos, we have to be able to take charge and control our own reality. And the only way to do that is to master it, is to train yourself to, you know, do all these tools, do these exercises, whatever is shown in the film, and empower yourself to do this. You know, that's the only way we're going to survive, you know, this year and next year and the years to come, you know. So I think the film is not just hopeful, but it's very practical. Do you agree?
Oh, my goodness. You know, you guys measure a lot of things there. What is the importance of measuring? What is that to help other people, or is that to maybe confine it and get it better and maybe even find more secrets by doing that?
Well, then the measurement actually proves that there is an effect, a physical, physiological effect on the physical object. I mean, that's what the measurement is about. And that's how you do it scientifically. Everything when you call something scientifically demonstrated, because it's been measured. The problem with psychic phenomena is that it cannot be measured. That's
exactly.
So I love it. That this and that. So the scientist is going to say, "Yeah, this is fantastic, but I can't measure that. I can't measure your mind." And so that's the idea: is when we measure these effects and you see it on the screen, it becomes very compelling, and eventually it becomes a scientific proof. So that's what we're working towards, but it's definitely shown in the film how that's possible. So that's why I think people, it's very inspiring too. Like a lot of people, sometimes we've been getting emails from people. They watched the film and it inspired them not necessarily to go do telekinesis or do the blindfold, but to just try to heal themselves. You know, it's something happens where you start to gain more confidence in yourself, empower yourself to say, you know what? I am in charge of me, and my mind is free, by the way. My consciousness is free, and you have nothing to lose but to just try to focus on your body, try to heal yourself, just like we show it in the movie on water or on DNA, because this is very real. And I think the longer we wait, we're just wasting time, because this is very much real. And this is very, very timely. And by the way, the film is on Amazon Prime. For those who want to watch it, who have not watched it, they can also go to the website superhumanfilm.com. And this is where they will find other platforms, but also the classes that we've been talking about.
We've got a lot of people on the lines. Michael on the East Coast there from San Diego. Michael, how are you? Thanks for waiting so long. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hey, thank you, Connie. Appreciate it.
So Caroline, do you have a question? Yep, there you go.
Caroline, thank you for being with us. My question is, do you, Caroline, think that autism is an evolution of humanity?
You know, I worked with some autistic children, and what I found is that what happens is that their brain channels seem to be plugged into other frequencies than the human. And most of the time, now I'm generalizing here, their brain channels were plugged into frequencies beyond the planetary frequencies, meaning they're more galactic. It's like they're reaching further out in space, so to speak. And what happens is that, so it's almost like they're not plugged into the planetary where everybody's plugged in. That's the reason why they seem to be disconnected. They seem to not want to communicate properly. That is because they are not plugged in where everybody else is. And so when I worked with them, I realized that actually that's why a lot of autistic kids and adults are gifted for something else. So it is because they are tapping into this higher awareness, actually. So your question is interesting because, you know, I'm generalizing. Because I believe that these autistic individuals are actually bringing higher frequencies And eventually, it's almost like the collective will be able to catch up with them, if that makes any sense. But in the meantime, it's very challenging because this phenomenon is very poorly understood. And so we want to force these people, these individuals and children, to kind of communicate with us down here or to adjust to those lower frequencies on Earth, if you will. And that becomes confusing. And this is where the behavioral problems start to happen, if that makes sense. Because in their mind, they're tapping into higher frequencies, but we're saying, no, you got to communicate down here, you know, come back down here. And so that confusion, this conflict in their mind is what the problem is. Does that make sense, Michael?
Thank you, Michael, very much for that. We're going to go to another one here really quickly. Yeah, we've got a lot on the line. Let's see if we can catch a couple more. A first-time caller, Mar, out of Taos, New Mexico. Hi there, Mar.
Greetings from Taos, New Mexico.
Taos, thank you. Thank you. I knew you were going to help me on that one. How are you? First-time caller. Thanks for calling
in. I'm great. It is my first time. I wanted to ask Caroline, and I just went to your information online. And I also went to some YouTube videos and the trailer of the film. Wanted to ask you about the role of decalcifying the pineal gland in this.
In what?
The ball of light that we are in the pineal gland.
Yeah, so I think the pineal gland is not the only thing that's responsible for psi phenomena. I noticed that it is the part of the brain, it is at the center of the brain, but the pineal gland is just responsible for receiving the visual representation of the psychic phenomena. So I've also been working with a group of scientists that it's just a new study, but they noticed that they studied the brain of many individuals who have psychic abilities or who have had encounters with extraterrestrials and things like that. And they noticed that there is a specific part at the center of the brain. It's almost like an antenna that is receiving this information, and the brain is very much concentrated there. So, and it's around the pineal gland. It's not exactly the pineal gland. So, you know, if that makes sense, it's really the pineal gland is part of the entire area that is, to me, the receptor and the focal point of these psychic abilities.
Pulling out the pineal gland on you. That's a whole nother world, isn't it? That's a whole nother subject. And I love that kind of subject as well. So
yeah, because it's people think that, you know, the third eye and the pineal gland is what brings you the vision. And that is very much true. And you do want to focus on that. But it's just, I mean, there's more to it than that. It's just the vision that you get through the pineal gland.
Let's see if we can do one more quick one here, very, very quickly. Wild card line number 3, Victor, also out of California.
Hello,
hi, Victor.
And Caroline, I just wanted to let you know that I know how the stray cats got their name, but more importantly, I want to talk about an incident that happened to me in 1973. I was a magician. I practiced magic, but I met Houdini, who came to me, and he told me that I was a better magician than he was. And I just wanted to know, where does Houdini fit in? And I'll tell you how the Stray Cats got their name was that the songwriter saw the cat inside a trash can, and that's how the Stray Cats came about, because of the cat that was inside the trash can. And I just want to say, can you put Houdini in this or something like a wonder story, if you can, and I'll let someone else pick the call.
You know, to be honest, I'm not really sure about this. You know, your question is, I don't really know. It's just my guess, my intuition, that I think Houdini had his own psychic abilities while at the same time, I want to say, masking them as a magician. You know, I think He was tapping into all kinds of information, and I think he was drawing from that. He was quite conscious of it. That's my feeling about this, about Houdini, but I don't know more than that.
Well, that's interesting. I would have not even thought about that whatsoever. So with the film, what was the one thing that you pull out that you learned about that you've never done? Was it the blindfolding and the reading, the scene?
Yeah, the blindfold was a new thing that I discovered, like I said, a few years ago that I started to investigate. And so that was a new thing. And then eventually I, you know, learned it, and then I start teaching other people. And so that was kind of something that came because of the film and through the film. And that's what we were talking about that earlier. It's fascinating when you go through the training yourself, all kinds of stuff start to happen, including helping with dyslexia, autism. For kids, for example, they were able to concentrate better. But as you are doing the training yourself, all kinds of blocks come up for you to clear. You start to see things, and belief systems come up to clear. So it's a whole, like, transformational tool as well. It's not just a trick, you know, like, hey, I'm going to get to read with blindfolds on. So it's pretty fascinating.
Always good to heal mentally as well and mature up that way, because it seems like all these things do that for us. So tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, so I think the best way is for people to go to the film website, superhumanfilm.com, and then there's a contact. They can just click on contact and they can send me an email there. And they'll see the where to watch the film and where to learn these about these classes. And also my other website, which has to do with healing, like you were saying, I have about 600 classes, online classes, and healing sessions on my other website, which is carolinecorey.com, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, Corey, C-O-R-Y.com. And there's also a contact tab there if people want to send me an email.
Excellent. Caroline Corey, thanks so much. It was fun talking with you, and I enjoyed your film too. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Caroline Corey, you guys, wait till you see the blindfold stuff. It's really cool. You'll want to take her class. In fact, I'm thinking about that myself. So, wow. Really, really fun. And then all the different people that you see in there and the way that they, I just love hearing these scientists. They always, you know, they want that measurement. They always want that measurement. I get it. They're scientists. That's what they want. But you can't always do that with this. So she got brave and went up against the odds, boom, and gave them some measurements. So that's really, that's always nice and cool, and it proves it for them. But, you know, the people that don't need the measurements, that are doing it and experiencing it, like Caroline already does herself, and probably a lot of you guys, you experience it, you feel it. Yeah, that's, to me, that's the best part. Nice to be able to measure it for those that need that proof. But at one point, you even, you know, you just, it's about experiencing it. You know, that's the niceness. That's the niceness to me, for sure. And experiences. What do we got coming up next? Vampires. Yes. Vampire folklore is coming up next. This guy knows anything and everything you can ask about vampires. It's AP Sylvia. And it'll be the first time he's on Coast to Coast. Join me. I think you're going to like it. Vampires of Lore, Traits and Modern Misconceptions. So everything you've ever wanted to know and then some. And maybe there's some things you thought you knew that you were way off. Stay with me. Connie Willis here. Happy New Year on Coast to Coast AM.